This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiao Ning. How is the FBM KLCI looking like at this time of day?
Barely staying in the green. At the moment, it's up only 0.5% to 1,538 points.
All right. We are turning our attention, though, to the to broader events in the markets. Global markets have been in a fragile mood since the start of the war in Ukraine, which has dented optimism that the global economic recovery was impending as COVID restrictions loosened.
However, prices of metals, grains and energy have been volatile and in fact been inching to new highs, causing margin compression while companies from technology to consumer goods have started to announce lower earnings guidance. But is this reflected in the Malaysian equity market? Was the recently concluded results season also a reflection of this?
For some thoughts, we turn to Jeremy Goh, Head of Research at Hong Leong Investment Bank. Jeremy, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. So in a nutshell, what is your assessment of results season for Malaysia? What were the key positives and, of course, the negative surprises?
Hi, good morning, everyone. Hope you all had a good long weekend. I'd say that the recently concluded first quarter results season was a pretty decent one. We had half the stocks under our coverage reporting results that were in line with expectations, 27% below and 23% above. This outcome is not too far off when stacked against consensus as well. If we were to talk about the positive surprises, this came from those that were consumer discretionary in nature rather than staples, sectors such as the brewers, retail, F&B and mall-based REITs. Now, apart from that, the plantation sector also surprised on the upside, given higher than expected CPO prices, noting that average CPO price was higher by 20% quarter on quarter. And in terms of the negative surprises, this largely came from construction, which was plagued by escalating material costs, denting their margins. And we also saw disappointments from the gaming sector. This was mainly Genting Group.
But if we look at it, Jeremy, does results season actually matter to market direction, as the key headwinds facing global markets is talks, of course, of an impending US recession? Can Malaysia avoid following suit and be that safe haven market?
Right. Now, I'm not an expert on US economics, and I acknowledge that the global environment is very fluid right now. But if I were to take a look at some of their headline numbers, it doesn't seem to suggest that they are heading for a recession, at least not for this year. So although their first quarter 22 GDP of negative 1.4% missed consensus estimates of a 1% growth, this was really largely attributed to a deceleration in inventory and rising imports. And this really masked the fact that consumer spending actually held up very well at positive 2.7%. And we must remember that the consumer spending accounts for the largest chunk of their GDP at about 2/3. So also, if you look at the recent jobs data that was released last Friday, I think that's for the month of May, that added about 390,000 non-farm payrolls. It's a slight deceleration from April, but still exceeding the consensus estimate. So to put it into perspective, the US labor market right now has recovered almost 96% of the jobs that it lost during the COVID pandemic. And in comparison, during the GFC, it took almost three times as long for a similar recovery. Now, coming back home to Malaysia, I don't think we'll be heading for that big R. First quarter GDP of 5% trumped consensus estimates of 4%. For second quarter, we should see growth being supported from further reopening as the country transitioned to endemicity. On 1st of April, we had our borders reopened, workplace capacity limits were lifted, restaurants and pubs can now open past midnight, which is great. Looking ahead into the third quarter, growth numbers should also be strong, coming off a low base last year, which suffered from the very restrictive phase one lockdown. So yes, I'm quite optimistic that Malaysia can avoid a recession, at least for this year, and we have a 5.5% GDP growth forecast for this year.
And given the volatility in, I suppose, global economic conditions, what would you suggest is the best investment strategy to adopt?
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to deny that there's definitely a lot of headline headwinds when you read the news. You've got inflationary pressures from supply chain disruptions, which, of course, has been exacerbated by the Russia-Ukraine war and China's unpredictable lockdowns. But really, our recommended investment strategy for Malaysia is to look beyond these headline headwinds. Malaysia's economy is going to be a much more reopened one than it was last year. And the merits from this reopening is already showing. As I've mentioned just now, that a lot of the consumer discretionary names have benefited from this. Also, it's anybody's guess, but there seems to be an increasing chance that GE15 could happen this year. And if I'm going to put my bet on this, I'd say it's going to be perhaps between August and October. And judging from the last three GEs, we did see an upward trajectory to the market 5 to 6 months prior to the polls. So in a nutshell, from where we are right now at about mid-1500s for the KLCI, I feel there should be some upside if we take the view to the fourth quarter or to year end. So I would be buying on the dips, and officially we have a year end KLCI target of 1650.
So the $1 trillion question, Jeremy, what are your top picks for Malaysia, and also similarly, what should we avoid?
So we focus our stock picks on a few key themes, reopening beneficiaries, commodity exposure, laggards, or should I say sold down stocks, USD strength, and also apolitical election plays. So with this, our top picks are Tenaga, Crest Metal, Sime Plantation, Sunway, Bursa, Astro, Dagang Exchange, Bumi Armada, Kobe, Evergreen, and Focus Point. We also like the banking sector as they are beneficiary of the interest rate upcycle. Our top banking pick is RHB. We also have buys on Maybank, BIMB, and Affin. For the avoids, we would still shy away from gloves given the supply competition from China, which makes it difficult for them to fully pass on the higher cost to customers.
Jeremy, thanks very much for speaking to us today. That was Jeremy Goh, Head of Research at Hong Leong Investment Bank, giving us some of his top picks for Malaysian equities, picks ranging from banking to commodities to retail.
Yeah, I got some names there. Tenaga, Press Metal, Bumi Armada, he likes in the banking space, RHB, Maybank. So a wide range of choices there. But to avoid gloves at the moment, price average selling price compression, no thanks to competition coming out of China.
That's right. If we turn our attention to some corporate news, we've got something from FNN. FNN has proposed to privatize its 27.7% owned associate listed Cocoland Holdings by buying the remaining shares at RM1.50. The rationale is to help FNN expand into other packaged food segments and grow the buyer's overseas market.
Now, this is a cash-only deal of 488 million based, of course, on the Cocoland shares they acquire. What's interesting is it values Cocoland at a price-to-book ratio of 2.77 times based on the net asset attributable to Cocoland shareholders. Now, the thing is that Cocoland actually is not doing so well in the last two quarters. So the question is, how is FNN planning to turn this around? And what is the synergistic benefits of this acquisition, and will it be able to generate shareholder value and free cash flow for the shareholders of FNN? This morning, FNN, however, down to 32 cents to RM19.68, while Cocoland is actually up, I do believe, very close to the offer price of RM1.50. The last I checked, it was actually RM1.47.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.